And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's go, man. Tear it up, dude.
You're listening to Here's the Catch with David Lombardi, Matt Barrows, and Dennis Brown on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Well, the 49ers and Cowboys playoff rivalry has been renewed, and the 49ers, after, 27 years of not facing Dallas in the postseason, they get that win. They beat the Cowboys in Texas, and that's always a monumental thing for the 49ers franchise. Hell, a road playoff win is a monumental thing for the 49ers franchise because there are now only six of them in the 49ers franchise history. John Brody beat the Minnesota Vikings back in 1970, and then the 49ers lost to the Cowboys on the road in the NFC Championship the very next week that year. Then you move, had to go all the way to Joe Montana in 1988, 49ers at the Bears at frigid Soldier Field. Steve Young didn't have a road playoff win. Colin Kaepernick had three over the Falcons in 2012, and then two of them, one at Lambeau Field where the 49ers will head next in 2013, and then one at Carolina in that very same season. And now Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers have a road playoff win under their belts. This was, Matt, a team win by every stretch of the imagination. The 49ers defense held the Dallas offense, which had led the league in scoring over the regular season, to two touchdowns under their average. The 49ers offense, well, they weren't great in the second half, but they had a really efficient first half to set the table. And, you know, the special teams, it was still really iffy for the 49ers, still did some stuff to keep Dallas in the game. But at the end of the day, the 49ers, thanks to the collective efforts offensively and defensively, were able to go in and advance, and it's going to be Green Bay next.
Yeah, I mean, we should point out that on special teams, Robbie Gould had a really nice game a week after he had a good one in Los Angeles as well. But you're right. It's just one. It's almost like, what creative way can the 49ers be punished by their special teams? And they found yet another one, a fake punt in the fourth quarter, which ended up, Dennis, being a twisted, tortuous, never-ending fourth quarter. And I think that sort of, it was frustrating for fans. It was frustrating to watch. Anxiety-filled, and I think that colored a lot of people's kind of perception on how the 49ers did. Even their locker room afterwards, we could hear them through the wall celebrating, but it wasn't quite the boisterous celebration that they had in Los Angeles last week. But the bottom line is that a win is a win is a win, and I just wonder whether you kind of felt that way, especially against Dallas, with all that history we were talking about in the run up to the game, how you kind of came out of that game, whether it was just sheer joy or whether it was a little bit of a qualified feeling for you.
Yeah, and you're right. That fourth quarter, it felt like it was 3 hours long. It was just up and down, and it was big play after big. It was penalties. It was mistakes. It was, you know, the George Kittle almost fumble. You know, that was the only time I've ever jumped up and screamed during a football game. But it's a win. It's a win. I mean, and it's hard to get a win, especially in the playoffs on the road. And my hat's off to that front four. I mean, I think that was a difference maker in this whole football game. Even after Nick Bosa goes down, guys stood up and they really got after Dak Prescott. And, you know, it was, emotions were going everywhere. I was at the radio station and the whole floor was just screaming and hollering. But, you know, to come out in that first half and just dominate the first half the way the 49ers did, and then come out the second half and just struggle, and then all the mistakes and the interception. But, you know, a win is a win. And, you know, in the playoffs, if it's ugly, if you get a W, it's still a win. So, I mean, I think these guys should be proud of themselves. You know, they went into Dallas. This is one of the number one scoring offense in the NFL. A lot of talk was about their pass rush and, you know, the explosiveness on the side of the Cowboys. And I think the 49ers defense really went out and they made a lot of strides. I mean, a lot of guys stepped up. Ambry Thomas, you know, he's growing up in the NFL. He's becoming a really good cornerback, makes some good plays, but the special teams frustrate you. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, it frustrates everybody, I think. But a win is a win. It's an ugly win, but it's a win, and you get to continue, and you get an opportunity to continue to play and compete for a championship.
And, you know, we have to remember, keep this in perspective, Dallas Advanced Metrics, DVOA, had the Cowboys as the number one team in the entire NFL. So the 49ers just went on the road, notched a road playoff win against what some of the analytics thought was the best team in football. And, you know, there's really no other way to say that. That's impressive. Was it perfect? No. But the 49ers survived and advanced. And again, just the sixth playoff win in franchise history. That shows you how rare these things are. That shows you how much they should be valued. And now the 49ers have to turn around and get another one if they want to continue the Super Bowl dream next week at Green Bay. It's going to be on Saturday night. It's going to be cold at Lambeau Field. And, you know, I think it's fitting, Matt, because the 49ers in week three lost to the Packers at home. And there was a lot of talk after that loss about how much the 49ers defense had fallen off since 2019. Because remember, in our predictions before that game, we thought, oh, the 49ers, they're going to overwhelm the Packers up front again. They have another good defensive line. Green Bay, I think, was missing a lot of offensive linemen in that game. It was down to like their third string left tackle. And the Packers really neutralized the 49ers up front. They were the first team to start really chipping Nick Bosa. The 49ers had no answer for that because they couldn't get a pass rush from anybody further down the line. And obviously the secondary was still really sketchy at the time. And it got to the point where Green Bay moved the ball 42 yards in 37 seconds to turn what looked like a 49ers win into a loss. And we were like, oh, well, looks like the 49ers defense isn't going to be all that this year. It's going to be up to the offense to get it done. But seasons are long. Stuff evolves. And with this Dallas game, it evolved to the point of the 49ers defense again leading the way, especially to close the game out in the second half. And what's more, they did it without Nick Bosa, who suffered a concussion in the first half, and they finished it off without Fred Warner, who hurt his ankle in the fourth quarter. And that's what good defenses do. They find a way to get the job done even when they're not at full strength. And I'll tell you what, this 49ers pass rush, Charles Omenihu is a guy they, you know, traded for before the deadline for a sixth round pick. He had a sack and a half. He was bringing Tyron Smith, who is an all-pro left tackle for Dallas. Eric Armstead, I mean, phenomenal, obviously, rushing from the inside. He was all over the run game and the pass game. Kevin Givens was good today. Sansom Ebukam was good. This is over the course of the season evolved from a one-person pass rush, Nick Bosa, maybe with a sprinkling of D Ford, but D Ford's not around anymore. It's evolved from that into a team-wide unit to the point where this was their highest pressure rate of the season, and it came without Nick Bosa playing most of the game. To me, that's phenomenal, and it just shows you the job that Chris Kocurek has done to change this team, develop this team over the course of a long season.
Yeah, that's the season-long theme for this team. Last week, it was Colton McKivitz coming in for Trent Williams. This week, it's Charles Omenihu, probably somebody that not a lot of 49ers are real familiar with, but that's the beauty of the way that they play defensive line. They're rotating nine guys through there in a game. So these guys all have snaps. They all have experience. So at a point where they need to tap guys like Omenihu and Arden Key and Sansom Ebukam, they're ready to step up. And they all did today. And that's really kind of the mark of a good team. And you mentioned the Packers and sort of the measuring stick that they're going to provide all of us, because especially that secondary. That was the theme of that, the end of that game. Remember, Aaron Rodgers was targeting Devontae Adams and just eating up the 49ers. I think D'Amador Lenore was in at that point. Dennis mentioned Ambry Thomas. I mean, that he personifies the evolution that this defense has gone through. It just gets better and better each week. And I think that's what we're finding with the 49ers. And I think that's what a lot of people around the league are seeing. This is a team that is getting better each week, and it's peaking right now as we go into the playoffs. Now, I think a good question is whether they've had too much in a short period, whether they can sustain it. But boy, they're confident, and they're winning games in which they're not playing perfectly still. But the two things that travel well in the playoffs, defense and running the ball, especially stopping the run on defense, that's something, Dennis, that this team does really well. And so that kind of translates to whichever team that you're playing. And maybe this weather that they're going to deal with in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe that takes a little bit out of Aaron Rodgers' passing attack and plays into the 49ers' hands.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is probably pretty used to the cold weather in Green Bay. But, you know, another thing that has to travel well is your special teams. And, you know, that's a whole different show, I think, if we talk about the special teams and some of the mistakes. You know, I think that fake punt was kind of the turn of the game. The Cowboys kind of got a little momentum after that. And, you know, things like that have to be fixed. I mean, you have to play good on special teams if you're on the road. And, you know, the question is, you know, next week, you know, with the short week now, it looks like they might play on Saturday. Will you have Nick Bosa and will you have Fred Warner? I mean, those are two of your best defenders on the team. So, you know, it's going to be another game. If they're not in there, you got to stand up and you have to play well, guys who are out there. But you're right. I mean, this team just looks like it was getting healthier. But here's the thing. They're getting some confidence. You know, you got some rookies now to get some confidence on the defensive side of the ball, and some guys who on that defensive line who haven't gotten a lot of reps because guys are so good in front of them. Nick Bosa and you know, he's out there, and then Charles comes in tonight and he gets a sack and a half. So, you know, it's guys that just kind of have it's playoff. It's do or die. It's do or go home. So, you know, it was encouraging to see, you know, this defense stand up. I was getting a little worried that last drive. It kind of looked like the 49ers were, you know, everything was being caught in front. It reminded me of that Green Bay game when, you know, Dak takes off down the middle. It looked like the 49ers were kind of guarding or kind of using the sidelines, trying to keep the ball in front of them and in the field of play. But a lot of big plays at that last drive. And I think if Dak Prescott would have been able to kind of clock that ball, if the referee wouldn't have knocked him over and, you know, bumped into the offensive line, we might be talking maybe a different story right now. But, you know, you at the end of the game, I mean, that's what frustrates me about the 49ers. It just seems like they can't take anyone out the game. They can't, you know, when it's time to kind of knock a team out, kind of put your foot on the throat and kind of get a team out of the game. The 49ers seem to let teams kind of stick around. And in the playoffs, especially against Aaron Rodgers, he showed it once. You can't give him the ball with any time left on the clock and give that much feel, that much cushion, and expect to win a football game. But they came out winners today, so, you know, that's next week. But those are things that have to be fixed, your special teams and, you know, your defense. You have to be able to, you know, if you're up by 17, 20 points, that has to be it. No more scoring. You have to kind of, you know, take the head off the snake and eliminate teams.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Well, the 49ers on the regular season finished with a top five offense, a top five defense, and the special teams ranked number 27. So, you know, it's easy to get lost in, you know, individual things that go wrong in one big game in a playoff game. But I think Dennis hits the nail right on the head here. You talk about special teams. It's not just a fluke now at this point for the 49ers. They had that punt where Dallas had that punt where the 49ers roughed the punter, extended a drive. That could have been very costly, but the defense held up. And then obviously the fake punt that the 49ers, again, weren't ready for, which is inexcusable since a fake punt has already burned them in the past, and that was at Seattle. So those two plays, you just look at them and you shake your head. 49ers have to improve that. Good news for them, potentially, is that Green Bay is one of the few teams in the league that ranked worse in special teams efficiency than the 49ers this year. The Packers were dead last at number 32. So it's going to be a matchup of two very bad special teams units. That being said, Robbie Gould delivered for the 49ers today. Two kicks of 50-plus yards, obviously. 49ers needed every bit of those two kicks, because if they're only leading by three instead of six at the end of the game, Dallas plays that a whole lot differently. And by the way Dallas played the end of that game, that's all the talk here in Texas right now. They're trying to blame the officials. Dak Prescott literally said the officials deserved to have debris thrown at them. But Matt, in my opinion, Dallas set themselves up for disaster. They didn't have any timeouts. They had a designed quarterback run. And if you call that with 14 seconds left in the middle of the field, you're at the very best leaving it up to fate. There's no guarantee you're going to get another snap off. The official did hit the center, but when you're relying on everything to go perfectly, don't be surprised when you lose an extra second, right? And Dallas set themselves up for that, and they also set themselves up for failure by, what, was that an NFL record for the playoffs that it tied 14 penalties from Dallas in this game?
I don't know. I mean,
it was close to it.
There were 11 penalties in the fourth quarter there.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was a record-breaking pace, at least, in the fourth quarter for Dallas. But so many of those penalties were procedure penalties. They weren't the type that you could, you know, be like, oh, the officials are out to get us. Dallas just looked like a poorly coached team that did not run the right play at the right situation there at the end of the game. They might have been getting greedy. They were trying to get a 25-yard attempt at the end zone instead of a Hail Mary. But when you get greedy, you have to be ready to live with the consequences, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it was an oddball game from the Cowboys' perspective. I mean, not just that, but there was the fake punt, which was nicely executed by them. The 49ers seemed to be ready for it. They had a cornerback, their most veteran cornerback, Josh Norman, who started more games this year than any other cornerback for the 49ers, 14, and he just got turned around. And they completed it. So they're on their roll there, and then they keep the punt unit on for the next play, even though it's a first down. It was just such a bizarre sequence. I still don't know what they were trying to do. But, yeah, I mean, when you decide to run the ball up the middle with no timeouts left, you're asking for trouble. And it's almost as if that run by Dak Prescott went longer than they thought it would, because it took them so deep that obviously there was no time left on the clock. Just a weird game for them. Offensive holding penalties, defensive holding penalties for them. I haven't seen more than one of those in a game. The Cowboys had two. I mean, there's going to be a lot of unpacking, and we were hearing it. David and I were in the press box, a very noisy press box, a lot of chatter from the Cowboys writers trying to kind of digest what they'd just seen. Their season's over, obviously, but I think you're absolutely right, David, in that they're going to be trying to blame the officials at the end. One interesting note, Dennis, is that it was the same referee, Alex Kemp, who handled that game in Seattle earlier this year, and that's the game in which Elijah Mitchell... to me, it was a blatant shot to the head that he absorbed, and it ended up being a concussion that cost him, what, the next four games? Something like that, three or four. This may have been a little bit of recompense, at least karmic recompense for that earlier game in Seattle.
Maybe you guys can explain this to me. On that one end around when I think it was fourth and eight or third and eight, and Debo gets that ball, any he's tackled right at the marker. They say it's a first down. The referees call it a first down, and then they go to New York, and they move the ball back and remeasure, and then the 49ers are short. Then they go for it, and then it's offsides and all that stuff. But how is that that they can move the ball back after it's already been set and it's been called a first down? Do you guys remember that play?
Yeah, I mean, that's what made the finish particularly torturous, right? Because they literally moved it back enough so that they'd be short by like a centimeter, not even an inch. It was like less than an inch. And then obviously,
how can you move it back?
Well, it's just a look at the spot, essentially. I think the way that they did it was prolonged and drawn out, but obviously you could challenge the spot, and that was final 2 minutes. They looked at the spot and they said, well, we got the spot wrong, so we'll move it back. And instead of moving it back a defined amount, and ruling it a first down or not, they said, we'll move it back and then we'll remeasure, which just made it look like, you know, this prolonged joke. And obviously the 49ers came out on the short end of the stick. Then they compounded the issue by, you know, having the quarterback sneak in place, but that Jimmy Garoppolo took the snap too soon because he got overeager because he liked the look that he saw, and Trent Williams didn't have time to get set. So that led to the false start, led to the punt, and then Dallas had the final shot. So I think that they were within their, you know, rights to look at the play, but the way that the officials looked at it, right, Matt, it just made it all so tedious and so disjointed at the end of the game.
Yeah, I don't know how long that fourth quarter lasted, but you know, that game was going at a nice clip. To give you an indication, the Rams game, which included almost a full overtime period, that lasted 3 hours and 12 minutes. This one ended in regulation, lasted 3 hours and 16 minutes. That's a long game. And like I said, it was disjointed, it was up and down, and you guys are right. I mean, it wasn't just the Cowboys who sort of outsmarted themselves. You know, the 49ers moved Trent Williams from the left side to the right side. They didn't wait for him to really kind of establish himself, and he was flagged for a false start. They got a little bit too cute, I thought. You know, all you needed was, as David said, 2 centimeters. I mean, something very small, and Jimmy Garoppolo ended up getting it. And by the way, he's been excellent on quarterback sneaks. He's not a small quarterback. He's, you know, over 220 pounds. So when he sort of burrows in there, he usually gets it. It just seemed like an unnecessary, you know, addition to that play. And it ended up almost costing the 49ers. But that's just how oddball weird that fourth quarter got. I mean, it's almost as if it started to snowball for both teams there in that fourth quarter.
And, you know, you guys were there in the stadium. What was the fan? I mean, was it? I didn't see much red on television, but, you know, social media just looked like there were a lot of 49er fans.
Yeah. So the upper deck was primarily 49ers fans, especially on the sideline of the 49ers on that side of the stadium. When you got to the lower level, especially behind the Cowboys bench, which might have been the way that the TV cameras were situated. I think they were, because the press box was on our side. So the TV cameras point away from the press box toward the Cowboys bench. So it's going to look like there are a lot more Cowboys fans there actually were. There were 93,000 total fans in the stadium. And I think Matt and I, what do we estimate? About 40,000 49ers fans, maybe 35 to 40?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and last week it was over half for sure, 49ers fans. This week it was under half for sure. But it was still a sizable contingent. You still saw Dallas commit, what, like 5 or 6 procedure penalties offensively. And I think the 49ers crowd had something to do with that, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, last week it was the Rams having to go with a silent count. This week the 49ers had to do that. But, I mean, it got loud in there, David, when the 49ers had the ball. But you can imagine how much louder it could have gotten if it had been even 80% Cowboys fan. I mean, that's a building that holds a lot of voices, almost 100,000. And we talked about this in the run-up to the game. I think that's the most of any of these stadiums. So, I mean, it was clear that that helped the 49ers. It could have been a lot worse. There could have been probably more mistakes. I don't think they had any, aside from the Trent Williams won any false starts, or at least none that seemed to be noise induced. So, I mean, that to me is good. And now, Dennis, they're heading to basically the opposite
type of stadium. They played in these two indoor Taj Mahals the last 2 weeks. Now they're going to the ultimate sort of old school outdoor kind of 1950s era, probably earlier, type of stadium. Do you have any good memories of playing in Green Bay in the cold?
I have no good memories of playing. My last NFL game was at Green Bay in the cold. And, you know, that stadium gets, I mean, it's an old, raggedy-looking stadium, but it reminds me of a Candlestick. It's got so much history there. And the crowd, you know, gets really loud, and it gets cold. I mean, I don't know what the temperatures are going to be. I'm sure it's going to be minus something teens. It's going to be a cold football game, but, you know, it's Green Bay. It's what you expect this time of year. You know, you have to have that mental mindset. Don't let that cold get to you, and just play the football game. But I don't know how, you know, the 49er fans will travel to Green Bay. I don't think you'll see that much red in the stands. And we know, you know, Green Bay, those fans, they're part owners of the team. They love that football team. So, I mean, you really got to get your mindset to play in kind of a hostile environment. And that's what you're going to get. But you're on the road, you know, you're in the playoffs. And I just remember when Colin Kaepernick went there, you know, whatever year that was, and just ate him up. So that's the mindset you have to get. You know, you're on the road, but you still got to take care of business.
Well, it's going to be this huge measuring stick for the 49ers. This season has been so long. Obviously, they tacked on the extra regular season game, which I think just makes the value of player development on a coaching staff and how it's able to impart that development on a roster so much more important based on how much of a marathon these seasons are. It had been 112 days since the 49ers lost to the Packers in week three. And that wasn't even the very start of the season. You obviously had weeks one and two before that and the preseason and training camp before that. So it just gives you an idea of just how much can happen over such a long period of time. And now the 49ers toward the end of this road, they hope it's not the very end of this road, but that they have another chance at the Green Bay Packers. But still, zooming out, they went into Dallas and they beat the Cowboys. And that's something that a lot of people didn't expect them to do. In fact, the 49ers were 3-point underdogs in this game. And they came out hot offensively. I don't think that we've talked about this enough because we talked about the mistake Garoppolo made late. He's still playing with a torn ligament in his thumb. And maybe it is a coincidence. Maybe it's not a coincidence that he missed two key throws later on after he had attempted a lot of throws. He looked so much sharper, right, in the first half than he did in the second. Missed Brandon Ayuk on a throw really across the field. That was a deeper throw, but Ayuk was wide open, probably could have sealed the game much earlier. And then he sailed Ayuk on that one throw that was intercepted by the Dallas Cowboys. And that opened up the door for Dallas. But what opened up the door for the 49ers in the first half to grab control of the game was just really, really efficient play from the entire offense. And Garoppolo was getting rid of the ball on time. We talked about Dallas having a really dangerous edge rush, but the 49ers generally were handling it. Garoppolo was doing a good job, you know, not exposing himself to those risky hits and exposing the 49ers to those risky throws. They marched down the field, you know, swiftly in drive one. And then even though they were settling for some field goals later, they were getting points. And against a Dan Quinn defense that had been ranked number two in the league, right, that's a good thing to do. And that first half was impressive. So that's why we say this was a team win, Matt, because although the offense wasn't perfect from 0 to 60, they were good over the first 30 for sure. And then the defense really was solid over the whole 60. And it took every bit of those components for the 49ers to get this big playoff win.
Yeah, they were the sharper team early on. And that was something that we were wondering about. I mean, the 49ers have been in playoff-like mode for a while now. And so the question was, okay, is that going to be too taxing for them over time? Or does that mean that, you know, they're already in the right mode that they need to be in? I think the answer certainly early on was the latter. Remember, the Cowboys played sort of a quasi game against the Eagles to end the season. They did not have to be as sharp over the last month as the 49ers had to be. And I think that really benefited them in the first half. And it brings up a question about going into Green Bay. Green Bay gets that beautiful bye week, you know, that week to heal. They've kind of wrapped up the number one seed you know, well in advance of week 18. They have not been in back against the wall, gotta win it mode like the 49ers have. And I just wonder how they'll start out. You know, you can never really predict it. Sometimes teams that have buys start out on fire. Sometimes it takes them a while to get warmed up. But like I said, to begin with, I think the 49ers have to really like how everything has evolved to this point because they are playing well. We'll have to wait on Nick Bosa. We'll have to wait on Warner. The early word, very early word on Sunday night was that nobody thought that either of those two injuries were all that serious. Concussions are funny, so you can't you can't go off of how the guy is looking and reacting right after the game. There could be repercussions a little bit later. But there just seemed to be a confidence about this team, even after that that ugly ending to it. They're for the most part playing their best football right now, like with what I said, the two basics, stopping the run, running the ball. That's what you need to do in the playoffs, and this team does that.
Yeah, and you know, you look at that first drive. I mean, I was so impressed with that first drive. It was just, it was flawless. I mean, I don't know if it was, I think it was like 78 yards or something, just flawless. I mean, executing on all levels. And we talk about this offensive line. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo was sacked not once. In this football game, he had an interception, and you know that's what Jimmy does. He's going to throw an interception. But that first drive, those first scripted plays, it was just flawless. And I think that set the tone. I think, you know, Dallas looked up and they're like, "Holy shite, these guys are for real." And you know they continue. I think they scored on their first four possessions, field goals. You know, not touchdowns, but you know, still points on the scoreboard. So. I mean, if you can take that attitude, that mentality, and take it on the road into Green Bay, I mean, that helps you out so much during the game. Just setting the tone, you know, and you have your defense go out and go three and out. Just setting the tone and then not letting the team stay in a football game, not making those mistakes on special teams and keeping a team in a football game. I think you do good in Green Bay.
Well, I think that's a good way to kind of summarize it. If the 49ers set the tone like they did in this game against the Dallas Cowboys, they can play with anybody. And hey, even if they don't set the tone, this 49ers team is talented enough to beat a team like the Rams after falling behind 17-0 in week 18. So two different elimination games played over the course of the week, two different ways to win exhibited by the 49ers. And that's a big deal. It's a sign of a good, adaptable team. You know, I call it 49ers football torture, kind of like the San Francisco Giants in 2010, 2012, 2014. They said Giants baseball was torture. Well, torture never felt so good now for 49ers fans. You beat the Rams, you beat the Cowboys, and now you get to, you know, really relive the 1990s over a two-week span. You get the Green Bay Packers now. So we get to kind of relive Dennis's career here, going from the Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers. Dennis, you guys had to overcome Dallas. Now you had to overcome Green Bay, obviously. That was the last game of your career over there at Lambeau Field. I know there are bad memories, but are you excited for the 49ers to perhaps atone for those bad memories? You know, I know it's those uniforms you didn't like, but the 49ers can go and they can make amends for what, you know, you complain about a lot on the podcast, that one frigid day in Green Bay when Steve Young tried to play with a dislocated rib.
And we had them white uniforms on. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for this team. You know, I mean, it's not having a Nick Bosa, not having a Fred Warner, if they're not out there, that's going to be huge. But, I mean, this team has to have a lot of confidence. And, you know, I forget that this is the first playoff. It was the wild card round. I mean, I'm still thinking last week was a playoff game. It's exciting football to watch. And, you know, these guys, to all the different guys standing up, you know, when it's your time to play, and I always say players make plays, and that's what it's been the last couple of weeks. Players have really stood up and made plays, and we've seen some young guys really grow up on this football team. And we've seen some, you know, we've seen some guys that have been around for a while make big plays. So that's what it's about, you know, especially at this time, is to make plays when they count. So I'm excited about next week, and it's going to be cold. It's probably going to be, the field's probably going to be crappy, But, you know, that's what you do. That's how you play football. That's real football. And it's going to be old school football. And you're going to play against, you know, a future Hall of Famer. And it's an opportunity to get after him. And I think the 49ers match up well against the Green Bay Packers. But you got to play good, clean football.
Well, we'll see how it goes next week. It's definitely going to be written about a lot, just like this Cowboys rivalry was. The Packers and the 49ers obviously have a much more recent rivalry than Dallas and San Francisco. So, looking forward to getting that one going in that cold weather in Lambeau Field. Anyway, that's it for now. We'll talk to you guys again in the middle of this week. This ride, you know, it may be coming to an end soon, or maybe it's just getting started for the 49ers in the playoffs. It's what you don't know about this team, because they always really seem to skate on thin ice. So we'll see what happens next for the San Francisco 49ers, fresh off of a rousing victory over Dallas on the road. For Matt Barrows and Dennis Brown, this is David Lombardi. We'll talk to you next time on the Here's the Catch podcast.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.